Know what you did?
610, 1240, and 1470. The Talk of Connecticut.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Leatherneck and Lace. Yes, the inimitable Mary Jones. And by gosh, I am sitting right beside him, and so is Mary, John Krupski. We go back a long, long time to the old PM magazine, and he is a very talented person. I found out because he came over to the station the other day to bring a book to Mary and to me called Cracking the America Code, a plan for getting us back on track. I want to just read a bit of it to you before Mary introduced our special guest. American exceptionalism doesn't necessarily mean that America and Americans are better than other nations and nationalities. It simply describes the elementary fact that America is different, peopled by a disproportionate citizenry of disenfranchised, diligent optimists with a tendency towards collective congeniality, yes, and they are addicted to personal liberty. Isn't that something?
There is an awful lot in this book. The title, again, is Cracking the America Code, written by Connecticut resident. He is a futurist. We're going to find out exactly what that means. It is so wonderful to be sharing the studio with John Krupski. John, good morning.
Well, as Brad Davis would say, good morning.
That's right.
It's great to be here. I really appreciate the opportunity.
We're going to talk about your book and what you do as a futurist, though I would love also to talk about, though we're not, John, the fact that you're celebrating your 30th anniversary. And you and your wife are going to Rome this Friday.
Isn't
have a wonderful vacation.
We are. It's wonderful.
Oh,
it's
congratulations.
Wonderful.
Love the city of Rome. So what is a futurist, by the way?
A futurist is a guy. Well, I'll tell you how I got to be a futurist.
It doesn't have to be a guy, I don't think,
well,
John, does it?
Well, when I use the word guy, it's asexual.
I'm just checking.
Thank you for keeping me honest. A futurist is a person who gets a phone call from their speakers bureau. And they say, are you a futurist? To which you naturally ask the question, you answer the question, you know, with a question. You say, well, why do you ask? The answer typically is, well, because we have a lot of gigs for futurists. So the answer to that question is, yeah, put me down for some of that.
I am a futurist.
That's how you get to be a futurist. The hard part is staying a futurist for more than a couple of years. Because if you're wrong, you're wrong. And you're out. But a futurist job is basically to help companies figure out where to go next and what's going to happen next and how to take advantage of it.
And so you look at the economy, you look at what's going on in the world, you look at different demographics to come up with that information?
And I also, yes, all of the above, and I also happen to look a little bit at history. I do a presentation called America Won't Be That Different in 2056. And how do I know America won't be that different in 2056? Because there is a set of cycles that keep repeating over and over in just in nature. And the economy is a perfect example. Since 1790, we have had 47 recessions. 47 recessions. If somebody's doing the arithmetic, that's one every 5 years. So you can count on having a recession every 5 years. It's part of the system. Now, some are worse than others because we tend to get carried away with ourselves. But it's the same cycle over and over.
Now, you were telling Mary and myself, John, this is a fascinating book. You were telling us that watching the convention in Tampa last night, much of what they said is in your book.
Well, it's actually even more interesting than that, for me anyway, is because what's in the book is why what they said makes sense. It's why it's all about. You talk about, for example, the idea of, Christie kept talking about, you know, immigrants.
He's my favorite governor, by the way.
He's a good guy.
He's a great guy.
Well, I was born in Argentina, but I lived in New Jersey for quite a while. And it's nice to see somebody in charge that's actually got it together in New Jersey. I grew up in Jersey City, which was a Democratic machine kind of town. It was like Chicago. But, everything that was talked about why it makes sense, why it is what it is talked about in the book. So it's not just that we're immigrants, but as you pointed out, it's because we're disenfranchised, diligent optimists.
That's right.
That's what immigrants are all about. You know, so it's really about, I wanted to kind of say, and I wanted almost to jump in and say, well, the reason for that is, just you know, and here's why. And the other part that the book talks about, and it's interesting because you began to see it in some of the discussions. If you notice, for example, the analysts talked about the speeches. And
yes,
they said, well, you know, I believe this, and then I believe that, and then I believe this, and I believe, it was kind of like split decisions. I believe that Americans are coded, genetically coded, not to agree with each other, to the tune of 50%. Half of America is coded not to agree with the other half. And it's not a new thing. It goes all the way back. If you go back to the Revolutionary War, only 45% of the colonials actually wanted liberty. So we've been a nation of 50-50.
45%?
Only 45%. And so, it's in everything we do. If you do a Google search and you type in half of Americans or 50% of Americans and poll, you'll get an incredible number of responses that shows America's literally 50-50. 50-50. And in my book, I talk about the research that I've done, which is based on now about over 35,000
I know.
Americans.
I read that this morning.
Yeah, it's a pretty good number. And what's interesting about that is I believe that it tells us the following things. 44% of Americans are basically active, genetically active. They're the kind of people who just have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got to do something, got to get it done, got to do something, got to get it done. 46% of Americans are essentially inactive. They don't do much. They don't get involved. They don't participate. They don't do. And 10% of Americans, which is the remaining number if you do 46 plus 40, 44, are reactive. By the way, this is their basic nature. This is not just politics. This is in everything they do. And that's when you talk about the swing vote, that's really the intriguing thing. Here's something to think about. If you really do the math, half of Americans don't vote in general elections. In presidential elections, they don't vote.
Is that high, half?
Half of Americans, 46%. And that's presidential. You talk about off-year elections, it's astronomically higher. So half of Americans choose not to be involved in a system. Of the remaining half, roughly half are Republicans. In spite of the number of people who register as Democrats, the number who vote are roughly the same number as Republicans. So when you think about it, it's like each Republican vote cancels out a Democrat vote. So they really don't have any power at all. So the only people that matter are the 10% of the public who gets angry enough or fearful enough to actually vote. That's what they call the swing vote. But it's built into our system. It's part of what we're all about.
Now, you wrote this book, and I tell you, and I said this to my radio audience the other day, John, I didn't know that you had written a book. Of course, I remembered you. But I had been talking, and I have been talking for, and Mary knows this, on my program, oh gosh, for at least a month or more, about the trouble with America. There's something going on here that troubles me deeply. And I said this to my radio audience. And I said, we have got to do something different. We have got to really firm up this country again, and we can. We will always be the United States of America. And I'm talking like this for several weeks, and my listeners can verify that. And would you believe that here you come in one day right off the street with this book, Cracking the America Code, A Plan for Getting Us Back on Track. And here you are. You didn't call me on the telephone or anything. You came in, and I have been talking about all this kind of stuff.
I'll take serendipity over good work anytime.
Boy, seriously. And Mary knows this.
I know. The timing is interesting, as timing often is in life. So let's talk about your plan to get us back on track, mm-hmm. us as individuals, and also us in terms of U.S., the United States. What would you like to see happen? What is it, John, that you think can happen once we really understand and embrace all the info in your book?
Well, the first thing that I think can get us back on track is, and I think you quoted it earlier, is it's not about what we do. It's about reminding ourselves of who we are. America got to be America because we're a bunch of wacky people. We're different. if you look at America, America is the only country on the face of the planet where 85% of the population, 82% of the population, considers itself or is aware of the fact that it wasn't from here. Most other countries, 90% of the people have always been there, you know, for thousands of years, or a thousand years, or whatever. Here we're all new. But it's the kind of people that come here. It's a certain kind of person. You know, disenfranchised, diligent optimists, people who are, as you pointed out, you know, addicted to liberty, people who are who work on association rather than consensus. We Americans don't like consensus, no matter what we talk about. The way we work is basically we see something needs to get done, and Mary, I don't like you. I think you're not the smartest person in the universe. I disagree with everything, but no, we got to get this done. So we do it. We get together. We associate. When we're done, we go back to, you don't think I'm very smart, and we go our separate ways, okay?
So true. So
we don't need consensus, right? We are fueled by the principle of possibility. The thing that drives America in, you know, from the very beginning is not what's guaranteed, not what's insured, but what's possible. I mean, basically, you know, the world today works on feasibility studies. You have to know it's going to happen before you try it. Think about that. If that would mean that Columbus would still be sitting back in Madrid somewhere waiting for the feasibility study. You know, what are you going to find, Christopher? I don't know. We can't leave till we know what it's going to be. It doesn't work that way.
John, can you stay with us? Of
I
course.
I will. Be happy to.
We're talking with the author, Connecticut Futurist, Cracking the America Code, John Krupski. When we come back, John, we'd love to talk to you about a lot of other things in the book, but especially what you talk about in terms of we keep doing it to ourselves. Brad Davis, Mary Jones, and you. Our number, 1-888-574-2723. We're right here with you on the Talk of Connecticut.